Ever notice how some folks can pack like a week's worth of stuff into this tiny little carry-on?
Right.
It's kind of wild. Viruses, turns out, are kind of like that.
Yeah.
Except they're stuffing genetic information into a space you wouldn't believe. And today, we're unpacking one seriously efficient packer, the Epstein-Barr virus.
And it's not just any old packing job, right? We're talking about a virus that manages to cram the instructions for over 1,400 different RNA transcripts.
Wait, hold on. 1,400.
1,400.
Oh.
Into a genome dwarfed by our own.
It's like finding out that carry-on isn't just full of clothes. It's got gadgets and gizmos galore in there, all perfectly organized.
Exactly.
Which is what makes this new research we're diving into so fascinating. It's like someone finally handed us the instruction manual for all that viral equipment.
Think of it as a blueprint. Not just for the virus's DNA, but for what it actively does with that DNA.
Okay.
Specifically during the viralytic cycle. That's the phase where it replicates and spreads like wildfire.
Okay, hold on. Rewind that lytic cycle part for a sec. I'm picturing some kind of viral disco party, and I'm not sure that's accurate.
Not quite a disco party.
Yeah.
Although,
yeah.
You're getting at the idea of a sudden burst of activity.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the virus is like a sleeper agent.
Okay.
It can lie dormant in your cells mm-hmm. for ages. That's the latent phase. But when triggered, bam, it goes myelitic, waking up, replicating like crazy to infect new cells.
Sneaky and efficient. And this research actually zeroed in on that analytic phase,
yeah.
right? Like they bugged the virus's phone during its most active hours.
You got it. And the sheer scale of what they found is astounding. This isn't just some minor surveillance operation. We're talking about uncovering over 1,400 unique transcript isoforms.
Wow.
Way more than we previously knew about. It's a game changer for understanding how EBV operates.
Okay, so this is big news. But for those of us who've maybe had a brush with mono, but, you know, don't live in a lab, why does all this matter?
Remember, EBV infects over 90% of the population.
It does.
Oh, yeah. Most of the time it's harmless, sure. But it can cause mononucleosis and has been linked to certain cancers and autoimmune disorders. So this deep dive isn't just about geeking out on viruses. It's about understanding something that affects almost everyone on the planet.
Right. So this isn't just some academic exercise. This could have real implications for how we treat EBV-related diseases down the line.
Absolutely. And what's even more remarkable is the researchers didn't just, you know, catalog these transcripts. They dug into the how and the why.
Okay.
Uncovering brand new regulatory mechanisms that control how the virus expresses its genes.
Wait, so it's not just about what the virus can do, it's about how it actually controls all those actions.
Exactly. It's like finding the control panel for that suitcase full of gadgets, you know?
Right.
And finally figuring out how to switch them on and off.
This is incredible. And they figured all this out just by looking at its RNA. How is that even possible?
Well, they use these cutting-edge sequencing techniques to basically eavesdrop on the virus's activity in real time.
Wow.
Imagine being able to listen in on the conversations happening inside a cell during a viral takeover.
Right. Yeah.
That's the level of detail we're talking about.
Okay, so it's like we've got this direct line to the virus's playbook. What kind of secret strategies did they uncover?
Well, for starters, remember how we talked about the analytic cycle being like this wake-up call for the virus?
Yeah.
This study found there are distinct phases even within that wake-up call.
Okay.
They categorized viral gene expression as early, leaky late, and late, each stage with its own set of tasks to accomplish.
Wow, so it's not just on or off for this virus. It's more like a carefully choreographed performance with different acts.
A very accurate analogy.
Okay.
And the timing of each act is absolutely crucial for the virus to successfully replicate and spread.
So this research is basically a program for that entire performance, breaking down each of those stages in detail.
It is. And some of the details are truly surprising. For example, there's this region in the EBV genome called Orelit, the origin of replication. It's always been thought of as the virus's copy machine.
Okay.
Essential for making more of itself.
Which makes sense. Replication is right there in the name.
Right. Okay. But this study found that Orelit is pulling double duty. Not only is it responsible for copying the viral DNA, but it also acts as an enhancer, basically a volume knob for other viral genes, especially during the early stages of the lytic cycle.
Okay, so not just the copy machine. It's like Orelit is the stage manager, making sure all the lights and sound cues are in place for the performance.
Yeah.
It's a lot of responsibility for one little piece of viral DNA.
And that's not the only surprise this research revealed. Turns out EBV has even more tricks up its sleeve.
Uh-oh.
Including this fascinating protein complex called VPIC.
But yeah.
We'll save that for after the break.
And we're back, still spelunking through the inner workings of the Epstein-Barr virus. And
still at it.
Right before the break, you were telling us about Oralit, the viral control center that's multitasking like crazy. And you hinted at even more surprises, something called VPIC.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
So VPIC, it's another one of those essential players in the virus's replication cycle. And for a long time, scientists thought it was mainly in charge of late genes, right?
Okay.
The ones responsible for the final stages of virus production. Mm-hmm. Think of it like the cleanup crew after the viral party.
Okay, so VPIC is in charge of, like, packing up the leftovers. Not the most glamorous job.
Maybe not glamorous, no. But crucial. The thing is, this research revealed that VPIC is a bit more of an early bird than we thought.
Okay.
It's not just cleaning up. It's actually active on some early genes as well.
Whoa. So VPIC is pulling double duty, too. It's like finding out the cleanup crew also helped set up the party in the first place.
Precisely. This just goes to show you how interconnected, how complex these systems are. EBV isn't just flipping switches on and off. It's conducting a whole orchestra of gene expression.
And speaking of intricate viral choreography, didn't you mention something about biphasic promoters before the break? What are those exactly?
Okay. Imagine a single key that can unlock two completely different doors depending on how you turn it.
Okay.
That's kind of what a biphasic promoter is like.
Okay, now that's impressive.
The study found that certain promoters in the EBV genome can actually initiate gene expression at different times using different mechanisms, all depending on whether the virus is in the early or late stage of its replication cycle.
Wow.
Incredibly efficient.
So it's like EBV found a way to get twice the functionality out of its genetic toolkit. Talk about maximizing efficiency, but how does it actually pull that off?
It all comes down to the starting point of RNA transcription.
Like, yeah.
Think about reading instructions, right? Where you start reading, changes the entire message.
Right.
During the early phase, the virus starts reading its genetic instructions at one point. But then during the late phase, it shifts its starting point.
So it's like there's a hidden message within those instructions that only gets read at a certain time.
Exactly. And this difference in the starting point, it can actually lead to the production of slightly different versions of the same protein, each with a specific job to do at a different stage of the viral life cycle.
It's like EBV is like a master of disguise, changing outfits to like outsmart our immune systems. Amazing. And remember those dog transcripts you mentioned earlier? It still sounds like something my dog would leave on the rug.
Right. Just as surprising. So think about how we normally understand genes, right? Like a sentence.
Okay.
With a clear beginning and end.
Right.
Dog transcripts, they're like sentences that just keep going and going and going, ignoring all punctuation. The virus reads through the usual stopping points of genes, creating these really long, kind of unusual RNA molecules.
Okay, that sounds messy. Why would a virus do that?
Believe it or not, it's actually a brilliant strategy. One theory is that it allows EBV to fine-tune the activity of its genes even more. Imagine one of these super long dog transcripts, right?
Okay.
Bumping into the starting point of another gene, physically blocking it from being read.
So it's like setting up roadblocks on a highway, making sure only certain traffic can get through.
Precisely. This interference could be a way for the virus to make sure that only the right genes are active at the right times, adding yet another layer of control to its already complex gene expression.
These tiny viruses are seriously strategic. But hold on, we're talking about RNA here, these long, messy transcripts. But proteins are the real workers in a cell. Does this RNA interference actually change anything in the proteins that EBV makes?
That is the million-dollar question. We know it's happening. We have some good guesses about why. But more research is definitely needed to confirm the exact impact on protein production.
Another mystery to solve. And speaking of mysteries, we haven't even touched on one of the biggest findings from this research, the LNCRNAs.
Yeah.
They sound like something out of a science fiction movie.
They do. LNCRNAs stand for long, non-coding RNAs, and they've been a bit of an enigma for scientists. They don't code for proteins like the RNA we've been talking about.
Okay.
But they're definitely not junk. In fact, EBV has a lot of them. And this research provides some really valuable clues about their potential importance.
All right. I am all ears. What did they find out about these LNCRNAs?
So one in particular stood out. LNCBGLF5. This LNCRNA was incredibly abundant in the study, even more so than some of the RNAs we know are absolutely essential for viral replication.
Wow.
It's like stumbling upon a secret room in a mansion and finding it's filled with something more valuable than gold.
Okay, so if it's that abundant, LNCBGLF5 must be doing something important. What do the researchers think is going on?
They believe that LNCBGLF5 it could play a really critical role in regulating the expression of other genes, possibly acting as an on switch for certain viral processes.
So even though these LNCRNAs don't make proteins directly, they could still be calling the shots behind the scenes. That's wild.
It really is. Think of them as the puppet masters, orchestrating the whole show. And LNCBGLF5 is just one of many. This study identified several other LNCRNAs that are likely playing crucial roles in EBV's life cycle. And this is just the beginning of unraveling their secrets.
Talk about a tangled web. We've got multitasking promoters, interfering transcripts, and mysterious long non-coding RNAs all working together. This virus is more organized than my sock drawer. But unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment.
Oh, no.
Stick around, though, because up next, we'll unpack one of the most groundbreaking findings from this research, the discovery of a brand new fusion protein. And trust me, you won't want to miss this. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
It's about to get even deeper.
We've been totally spelunking through the inner workings of the Epstein-Barr virus.
It's a trip, right?
And let me tell you, this virus is anything but basic.
No, absolutely.
We've got genes pulling double duty, transcripts playing traffic cop.
Wow.
Mysterious LNCRNAs running the whole show.
Puppet masters.
And just when I thought it couldn't get any weirder.
Yeah.
You hit me with this fusion protein thing.
Right.
Tell me more.
Okay, so get ready to have your mind blown.
Okay.
Because this fusion protein
takes
viral efficiency to a whole new level.
Okay.
Remember how we talked about EBV being like this master of multitasking with its limited genetic material? This is like the ultimate example.
Okay, I'm hooked. Lay it on me.
All right. So the researchers discovered this brand new protein.
Okay.
That's essentially two different viral proteins spliced together.
Wait, hold up. It's like taking two completely different tools and like Frankensteining them into one.
A surprisingly accurate analogy.
Really?
Yeah, EBV essentially took a part of this gene called BXLF1 and a part of another gene called BXLF2, and it just fused them together.
And each of those genes had their own, like, separate jobs before, right? Ooh. What happens when you combine their powers like that?
So here's what we know so far.
Okay.
One part of this fusion protein, the part for the BXLF2 gene,
is
a key player in the virus's ability to actually infect cells. Think of it as the key that unlocks the door to our cells, allowing the virus to sneak in.
Okay, so one half is like a master key.
Exactly.
What about the other half? What does BXLF1 do?
That's the really exciting part. We don't entirely know yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is brand new territory, and scientists are still trying to figure out exactly what this BXLF1 fragment is up to and, you know, why EBV would go to the trouble of fusing it with a BXLF2 protein.
So it's like this fusion protein is still partially a mystery.
Yeah.
That's both intriguing and a little bit unsettling. It's like this virus has a secret weapon, and we're not quite sure what it does yet.
Exactly, but that's kind of the beauty of scientific discovery, right?
Yeah.
This finding opens up this whole new avenue of research.
Okay.
Trying to understand the role of this fusion protein in the EBV life cycle, and importantly, whether it could be a target for new antiviral therapies.
Because if this fusion protein is essential for the virus to infect our cells, blocking it could be the key to, like, stopping EBV in its tracks.
Exactly. That's the hope.
Wow.
By studying this unique fusion protein, researchers might be able to develop drugs that interfere with its function, preventing EBV from getting inside our cells in the first place.
Mm-hmm. This is mind-blowing stuff. We've gone from unpacking the virus's suitcase to uncovering its secret weapon.
I know, right?
All thanks to this incredible research.
It's amazing.
As we kind of wrap up this deep dive into the EBV transcriptome, what are some of the key takeaways you hope our listeners will walk away with?
Well, I think the biggest one is just how much more there is to learn.
Really?
Yeah, this research has given us the most detailed map of the EBV transcriptome we've ever had.
Okay.
But more importantly, it's just revealed this incredible level of complexity that we didn't even imagine before.
Yeah.
This virus is constantly adapting, evolving, finding new ways to thrive.
It's kind of terrifying.
It is a little bit terrifying, but also amazing, you know, and understanding these intricate mechanisms. It isn't just about academic curiosity anymore. It's about, like, uncovering its vulnerabilities.
Mm. So it's about gaining the knowledge we need to develop more effective treatments for EBV-related diseases.
Exactly.
Wow.
And just as exciting, it's about sparking new questions, you know, like, what else can we learn from those mysterious LNCRNAs? What other secrets is EBV hiding? This deep dive, it's given us this incredible glimpse into the world of viral complexity.
Yeah.
And it's clear that there's just so much more to explore.
I don't know about you, but I am officially hooked on EBV research.
Me too.
This is a story we're definitely going to be following closely.
For sure.
Well, thanks so much for joining us on the Deep Dive. And until next time, keep those brains curious and those questions coming.